Chapter 23. I have a message from God for you today, and the nursery is now open. So all children, I saw Sean here. Did he just come to Sunday school and left? I'm not impressed. We have an event right now. If you ever make a plan for a birthday party or an event, do it after church. Amen. Don't tell God that something's more important than him. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying it for you. Nothing can be done. Nothing that has to be done can be done before 12 o'clock. So you'll be done at 12:30. You go and then you go and do it. But I missed it when they were here. We had a very good Sunday school class today. Really good. And a lot of people came to Sunday school class and left. I don't know where they're going, but I'm glad you're here. Please show up at 10 o'clock on Sunday school on Sunday morning. You're missing out learning about the Bible. Great, important things. And also come on Sunday nights. Amen. Sunday nights are some of the best services where, you know, it's just laid back. We pray, we praise, we sing, have a little Bible study. People, and we have a good time. And Wednesday night. Wednesday night's our prayer service. We come at 7 and we give our prayer, we take down our prayer requests and we give praises. And then we all get together and we come to the altar or there and we all pray for these. And, Nancy, two Wednesdays ago, she was here and she prayed for her son to get a job. And she wrote me a couple days ago and said, we prayed Wednesday for him to get a job. He got the perfect job. Amen. And just so you know that every single person in the past 13 years that has come here on Wednesday night and prayed for a job has gotten the job. And not only gotten a job, but get the job that you asked for. And better. So you're missing out if you're missing out on prayer. You're missing out if you're missing out on times of fellowship together. You're missing out. And it bothers us too, because if you're not here, we're not as happy, but we're going to be happy with or without you anyway, just not as happy. And that's the way it is going to be in heaven. It's going to be a lot of people, and when we get to heaven, we're all going to be happy. Amen? Who's going to be happy if you get to heaven?
Amen.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be there, that we love, and that's going to make us not happy. We wish they were there. And that's kind of like church is every Sunday. You show up Sunday. See, maybe you don't know, but the Bible gives us the commandments of God. And one of the commandments in the Ten Commandments, but also in the New Testament, says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't be the outsiders in the some. Don't be those that just wonder if they're going to get to heaven. Be a part of the team. Amen. Be part of the group. Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. And the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Jesus said that my sheep, I'm the good shepherd of my sheep. Amen. You're either in the flock or you're out of the flock. And I don't know about you, but I believe in God. Amen. Not only do I believe in him, but I'll be honest with you. I don't even need the faith that he is. I already know because I've had the proof and the evidence that he is. He's changed my life. He speaks to my heart. I've heard him speak to me directly, audibly. I mean, I can blow you away with the things that God has done in my life. And I'm just one of billions. And he is. God is. And he's real. And for you to go through this life without a real relationship with him, it's all on you. He loves you. And his arms are, you know, when he spread his arms out, he nailed them to a cross to keep them out. And when he resurrected, he kept the scars in his hand just to show you, yeah, I did that all for you. He's a great, God is awesome. Amen. Well, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make it to heaven. And there's only two places to go. Up or down. Amen. Heaven or hell.
Right.
And too many people don't talk about hell anymore. They don't want to talk about hell. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus came to save you from hell. You know, you hear the word saved. Are you saved? And some people know what that means. Some people don't. Some people know they're saved. Some people don't know they're saved. But are you saved? It means you're saved from something. Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father, born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life. Show the evidence that he is God by walking on water, commanding wind and waves, making food out of nothing, healing every single person. People had no limbs, arms came out. People had no eyes, eyes were formed. Changed the world forever, this man. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice between God the Father and the world. Amen. And he is God and he is the Lord and he's amazing. But unless you know him, unless you have that relationship with him, you'll never know if you're saved or not. Religion can never save you. There's no religion on earth that's ever saved anybody. There's no self-help. There's no good works that's ever saved one soul. If you think that you being good is going to get you to heaven, that's a slap in God's face. Because God said, you're never going to get to heaven on your own. I'm going to send you my son. And you have to be in him. You have to know him. And Jesus said that anyone who comes to me, I'll never cast them out. That means anyone. You just come to him with a pure, with an honest heart, sincere, and knowing the truth and calling upon him, he'll save you. Isn't that great? He saved a knucklehead like me. He can save a person like you. In chapter 23 of Matthew, y'all there?
Amen.
We're starting verse 33, and we have Jesus speaking some very powerful, powerful words. Do you guys have a Bible? Do you need a Bible, guys? Do you need a Bible? I have one right here if you need one. Yes or no? Yes. I love giving out Bibles. That's why we buy them. Amen. You want one too? You sure? The book of life. It says in verse 33, Jesus is speaking and he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers. I want you to pay attention to this next verse. You should underline it because this is the title of the message. How can you escape the damnation of hell? That's the title of the message, and it's a question that God is asking and saying to these people, and he's saying it to us as well. And it's a good question to think about. How can you escape the damnation of hell? I want you to think about that. Don't just pass over it. And he does go on to say the next verse. He said, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them you killed them and you crucified them. And some of them you scourged in your synagogues and persecuted them in the city. God's saying the same thing to us right now. And you are in the sea. I sent you preachers. I sent you teachers. I sent wise men to tell you all about how to be saved. And yet you will not come. And when he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? It's a great question. We're going to look in that today. Spoken by Jesus Christ to who? To the Jewish people. Not only, God bless you. Not only was he speaking to Jews, but he was speaking to religious men. Please pay attention. Jesus said this, how can you escape the damnation of hell? To people that were religious. People who believed in God. Men who served God. Men who preached God, taught God. Men who read their Bibles daily. Men who prayed all the time. Men who said prayers all the time. Men who offered sacrifices to God and kept the laws and tithed according to everything they had. To these men, he said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Now, if he said it to them, what do you think he's saying to you? Saying to you today, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? I want to talk to you to that briefly if I can, if there's any such thing as briefly in my vocabulary. And yet God, the Lord, whom they say they believe, was speaking directly to them. And they did not heed his word. If they didn't heed his word, I doubt you're going to heed my word, but I'm praying today it can be different. The Lord in whom they say that they believe, the Lord in who they say they worship and trust, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? I want you to think about hell for a second. Hell is not the cause, and hell is not the disease, and hell is not the enemy. It's not hell that's after you. Hell's a place. Hell's a condition. Hell's a destination. Hell's a place for the damned. That's why he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He didn't say, how can you escape hell? Hell is there. It's not going away. Hell's a destination. You either are going there or you're not. You don't have to go there.
Amen.
You don't have to go.
Amen.
God made a way where no one has to go. And that's what he said, how are you going to escape? Not hell. The damnation of hell. Damnation means being damned by God. Means cursed. Means God put a curse on you. A curse, it means. It means doomed, lost, condemned to hell. The expression of disappointment by God on all who are damned. Damned is a curse passed down from our forefathers all the way back to Adam. The generational curse is a curse of sin. Sin is a curse. And Christ is the cure. Sin is a curse upon mankind. It came from Adam, the first man whom every one of us shares his DNA. Every one of us come from Adam. Everyone. And therefore in our DNA is the curse. And therefore that curse is sending us to hell. How are you going to escape the curse of hell? How are you going to escape being damned to hell? See, the Bible is very clear. It says, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. It says the wages of your sin, the payment of your sin, of your damnation is hell, is death. It's separation from God of all time. But the great news is Galatians chapter 3:13 says that, there you go, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Please pay attention. How will you escape the damnation of hell? Damnation's a curse. There's a curse upon each and every one. You know, it says, how will you escape this curse? Being made a curse. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus Christ became accursed for us. He took the punishment and the crucifixion. He took the curse upon all men on himself. And he took the curse away. What a thankful we ought to be. We ought to be so thankful. Not only did he take the curse away from us, but he took the cause of it. The cause of that curse is damnation in hell. Amen? And what happens is taking our curse of sin in him and dying and going to hell, where all sin and sinners belong and where they're going and are destined to go. He went even to hell. But think about this. He had power over hell. He walked over the fires of hell just like he walked over the waters on the lake or on the river or on the sea. He had power and authority over the waters. He walked on those waters. And when he went to hell, Ed, he had authority and power even over hell. And he walked across the fires of hell. The Bible says he went into the lowest parts of hell and preached to angels that are there, that were cast out of heaven. There's so much that you have no idea about. But he has power and authority over hell. He has power and authority over the grave. He has power and authority over sin. He has all authority to take the curse away. And to not only take the curse away, but to redeem your soul from hell. Only by one man did the curse come into this world. Only by one man, his name was Adam. He brought the curse upon us all, amen? And so therefore it had to be a man to take away the curse. By man is the curse come, and by man, Jesus Christ, the curse was lifted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15:21, be ready, Brian. It tells us this, it says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. I was cursed, the curse is lifted. I was damned, now I'm blessed. I was on my way to hell, now I'm certainly going to heaven. Someone needs to ring the bell for that. Amen. I was a cursed man. And so is many, or everyone, but some in this room may be as well. You're damned. How will you escape the damnation, the curse of hell that's coming on you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us this. What do you have up there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that curse is lifted, and he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Because the curse of sin, and the power of sin, and the penalty of sin, even the presence of sin one day, is gone, lifted from us through Jesus Christ. And he's made us new and created us new. We are become new. The next verse says, and all things are of God. I want to tell you something. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect and holy. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, he's not only did he come to this earth as a human being, but he came as the man Adam. The first Adam sinned and sin entered into the world. He comes as the next Adam, and all who are born of him, born again, born of God, are now have his DNA. And that's why it says you get regened. You're made new, a new creature. I'll tell you what God, what he's did. Being born again, Jesus Christ, being our new Adam, I should say, born of God by believing and receiving Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, for the atonement of our sins, and the washing and regenerating and renewing of a Holy Ghost inside of us. Amen. You know what it means to be regenerated? Regened. I had Adam's genes and I had a curse on me. And now I got Jesus' genes and I got a blessing on me. I was destined for hell. Now I'm determined to go to heaven. That's why we sing the song, "When We All Get to Heaven." What a day. What a day of rejoicing it's going to be. Some of you can't sing because you don't even know if you're going. Because the curse may still be upon you. Why would you go around cursed? How shall you escape the damnation, the curse of hell in your life? It's a good, great question. He cleans us. He renews us by lifting the curse from our lives and changing our destination and our destiny no more. 2 Peter 2:14 says this, having eyes full of adultery and that they cannot cease from sin. How do you know you have the curse? You cannot cease from sin. How do you know you're still under the curse? You just can't stop sinning. I'm not talking about the little things we do. I'm not talking about the intricate little details of your life that you're working on. I'm talking about the same old life you've always done. You're still the same person. The curse is still on you. You're still drinking. You're still smoking. You're still cursing. You're still fornicating. You're still committing adultery. You're still lusting. You're the same person. You're just going to church. The curse is on you. Yeah, it hasn't been lifted from you. Who are you fooling? That's why Jesus said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How are you going to escape this curse that's on you? See, you can't help it. No one can help but sinning. You can't help it. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. You know, you don't do bad because, or you don't sin because you're a sinner. You sin because that's who you are. That's who you really are inside. You're a sinful, cursed, damned individual. And that's a horrible thought. Our children are cursed. Our families are cursed. That's why the world is the way it is, Anton, because we have a cursed world. You know, even the earth got cursed. Everyone got cursed. The animals got cursed. Do you know in the Garden of Eden, the way it was been, animals didn't eat other animals. I see videos all the time, and I watch these, you know, animal videos, and I'll be honest with you, I can watch all kinds of, I do not like it when they eat little baby things. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Lion chasing. He's got a buffalo. Go at it, brother. You got a gut chasing a giraffe. All right. An elephant. All right. But when he goes after a baby, I get mad. And I click. I can't watch them kill an innocent little baby. I just can't. And I'll tell you right now, we're cursed because we're killing innocent babies all the time in the womb of mother's wombs. We got a curse upon us. Who would ever have a human life that God put in there and say, suck its brains out? That's a curse on the earth. It's a curse on America, and it's a curse on men, women, and children everywhere. You know what the most precious thing is? A child. Mothers are the best things in the world. Amen. Love mothers. Mothers are made of God. They create human life. They have child. See, I'm a man. I can't even fathom what it's like to have a human being live inside me. I can't even. No wonder why you're different. No wonder why you're special. No wonder why you're amazing. Look what you made. Look at you made them. You know what I'm saying? You're awesome. Amen? And then for someone in their thinking to think, let's kill it. Let's not just kill it. Let's put a surgical implant in it and suck its brains out while it's alive. Anyone think that's okay? You are a cursed individual. You're cursed in your mind and you're damned in your thinking. And I'll tell you right now, we need to get the curse lifted off America. We need to get the curse lifted off of our families. We need to get the curse lifted off of our children. We need to get the curse lifted off of our church. Can I get an amen? We need that curse gone. Amen. Because the curse is the curse of sin and it's damnation, and sin only leads to death. That's it.
That's right.
But Jesus Christ, amen, He gives us. No more cursed children would be great. No more curse means no more cursed children. Jesus Christ is not a religion. Jesus Christ is the light, the way, the truth. Jesus Christ is the hope of all nations.
Amen.
All people. To lift the curse and sin from the human race.
Amen.
How shall you escape the damnation of hell? The damnation is a curse, the cause of all evil in this world. It is the fruit, and the final causality is death. Death is the opposite of life, just so you know that. It's the final separation from living. It is the final separation from the living creation of God. God's good earth, God's green earth, God's blessed earth. Fools say there is no God. Fools can say and see this beautiful landscape and see the green and the flowers that are going to come up in another month and the spring and the smells in the air and the warm summer breezes and the oceans and the mountains. And it's gorgeous. This earth is amazing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I have a friend of mine who I was golfing with, and we're on a golf course. You know how beautiful golf courses are? Come on, Steve. Say amen over there. Golf courses are absolutely beautiful. And we're sitting on a golf course. We're out there waiting. And I said to him, so John, you know, you need to know the Lord. And he goes, yeah, I know the Lord. I said, John, hell's real. He goes, hell? This is hell right now. I'm looking at him like, what do you mean this is hell? We're in hell now. And we're on a golf course. A beautiful day, sunshine. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And there's people out there that believe foolish stuff like that. This is the most beautiful. Well, when you die and you're damned, you'll never see a good thing again. The good breezes and the good earth and everything God ever created is separated from you forever and ever and ever. And you go to a place called hell where it has no good in it at all. And it's a horrible, horrible place. The final separation from living creatures, from a good God's good earth, all His many blessings, all His beautiful earth that He's made, the separation from everything that God has ever made that's good, and a place that God made for Satan and the fallen angels. Matthew 25:41, Brian, tells us Jesus said that hell was not made for you. It was not made for us. He says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Not prepared for you. But because of the curse, you're going there. Because of the damnation that has everyone is damned. Everyone is born with a curse on them. But Jesus is the cure. And He'll lift the curse. Why would you say, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell if you won't have Jesus? Hell is real. 54 times in the Bible. 54 times it talks about hell. 23 times in the New Testament. There is a judgment and there is a penalty for your sin. You don't get away with anything. Amen? There is a place we're all going to end up. And it really is up to you. It really is. God made a way. A way out. God always makes a way. God always makes a way out. He made a way out with Adam and Eve. He made a way out with Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were supposed to do what God told them to do. And Cain wouldn't do it. And God literally went to him. Cain, what's up? What's wrong with you? Why are you mad at me? Why are you angry? He said, if you just do what's right, I'll accept you. And Cain wouldn't take God's offer. And Cain's burning in hell right now forever and ever and ever. But Abel's in heaven. God didn't just stop there. God did it with Noah and the ark. God made a way out with Noah and the ark. Noah's preaching everybody. All you had to do was get in the ark and you're fine. They wouldn't do it. Abraham and Israel. He made a nation and a people that knew God. David and John the Baptist. Amen? The prophets of the old, they taught and spoke and preached and did miracles and was telling everybody the truth about God, and they still wouldn't listen. And then you have Jesus. Jesus and His church.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and us.
Amen.
See, there's no reason that any of my friends should ever not believe in God. You know why? Because I was a sinful man. I was a wicked, evil, sinful man. A nice, wicked, evil, sinful man. I was a nice guy, but I was wicked. I was a nice guy, but I was evil. I was a nice guy, but I hurt people. I was a nice guy, but I stole. I was a nice guy, but I cursed. I was a nice guy, but I did harm the girls. You know, it's like, we think we're okay. In all reality, we weren't. And so if you knew me as a young person, and then you know me now, I am not the same person. I'm totally changed. Why? What happened, Mike? I met Jesus Christ. And he lifted that curse off of me and he changed me. He changed me. And now, at least I can be, instead of a menace to society, I can be a blessing to society in some way. How can I be a blessing? How can you be a blessing? By tell people about how to get the curse lifted.
Amen.
You're under a curse. Your family's under a curse. Your children are cursed children. But God said, because of you, that the curse is lifted, I'll sanctify them. And I'll work on them. And I'll keep working on them. And I'll keep talking to them. And I'll keep putting them in positions where they'll listen. And I'll never give up on them. Isn't that great to know? If you're a believer today and you have the curse lifted on you, you have God's blessing on you. Because you have God's blessing and favor, your children that have the same curse you have. God said, I won't give up on them. I'm going to keep working on them. But God will not make anyone do what they need to do. They have to believe. And they've got to want to come and lift the curse. And the only way you can do that is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to think about how shall you escape? You know, we all have a testimony, each and every one of us, that we can tell people about Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, the prophet, the priest, he's coming. He's alive. And so we're saved through His blood and His death and His burial and His resurrection. And coming up in a couple of weeks is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most sacred of all Christian holidays.
Amen.
Because without the resurrection, the cross didn't do enough. The cross where He died and suffered and bled and paid for your sin was great. But without the resurrection, you would need to be saved again. But He got resurrected and He took His blood to God in the presence of the Father and put His blood on the mercy seat that whoever comes to Him, that blood says paid for.
Amen.
Redeemed. Your sin is gone. The curse is lifted. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
How shall I escape the damnation of hell? By the only way possible. Through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Son of the living God. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved from hell? John 3:16 says, for God so loved that He gave us His only begotten Son. That whosoever, even me and you, Joe, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The curse is lifted. They're born again.
Amen.
It tells us, Brian, in 1 John 4:8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen.
See, God is love.
Amen.
God is love itself.
Amen.
Next verse, Brian. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, because we didn't, but that He loved us. And He has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means the atonement for our sins. He has come to take the curse away.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing what God did? Why did He do it for you? Because He loves you.
Right.
He loves you.
Right.
And the problem is people don't love Him. They don't love Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus, really. They don't act like they believe in it. They don't act like they love Him. See, Jesus said, you'll know. You'll know them. How, Lord? By their fruit. What's the first thing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. When someone loves, they're different. When someone says, I love you, that means they'll do anything for you. They want to talk to you. They want to hang with you. They want to be with you. They want to go to dinner with you. They love you. They say they love you, but don't want to talk to you. They're lying. It says, next verse, Brian. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has given to us. Have you? Have you known the love of God? How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Through God's love. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son. Think about that for a minute. God so loved you and the world and everyone in it that He sent His Son, the only way of your salvation, the only one that could take the curse on Himself and lift the curse from human beings. How? By the people that receive Jesus, they get born again. The first birth, they have human parents, and our human parents are cursed. Just like we are. Anyone ever have parents that did them wrong or hurt them? They were sinners, just like you. Give them grace. Forgive them. They can't help it. See, do you ever have somebody that hurt you and did something wrong to you and your family? They're under a curse. Forgive them. As Christ for your sake, forgave you for all yours. You have to realize they can't help it. They're under a curse. Damnation to hell. It says, and we have known and believe the love of God has us. Have you known the love of God? Do you believe the love of God?
Amen.
See, the people say amen, they know it, and they believe it. Look, it says, God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. He that believes that God's Son loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, because we're all cursed, would believe in him, the curse would be lifted and the grace of God would be upon you and you'd be called the sons and daughters of God. And you'd have a new destination, a new destiny, a new heart, a new spirit. And you don't want to sin. You don't want to. You hate it. You hate it every time you do it. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but we're working towards that. You see, it's not about being sinless, but it is about sinning less. I don't expect to be perfect because there is none. I expect you to be faulty. I expect you to be messed up. I expect you to be everything that I am. And that's bad. But I expect you to love God. Why? Because he loves you. And he gave his son for you to die for you. That's all I expect. I expect God's children to love him. I expect God's children to know him. I expect those who have been the curse lifted and have been redeemed and given a new life and a new hope.
Amen.
And a new desire that not only am I not going to hell, not only am I going to heaven, but now my children have a chance.
Amen.
And my mother and my father and my neighbors and my sisters and my brothers have a chance to have the curse lifted from them. How? Jesus! He's the cure! And then we go around all our lives and keep our mouths shut to the people we love the most about the cure that would only cure for them. Shame on us. And I hope and pray that we will think about this more and more as the day approaches. 2 John chapter 1. He's already there. Well, he's ahead of me. And this is love. Please pay attention. This is love. That we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment. That, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You know what the commandment is? Love. Love the Lord your God. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. All your strength. Why would I love a God that I don't know? Because God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
God so loved you that he allowed his Son to become sin. He that knew no sin, to take and drink the cup of your sin in him, and he became cursed for you. So that your curse could be lifted. So that your children's curse could be lifted.
Amen.
So your family and your mom and your dad's curse. So the world's curse could be lifted off of them. I am so glad and so thankful. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
So thankful for that man, what he did for me. And what he did for everybody in the whole world. It tells us, it says that you should walk in it. What should we walk in? We should walk in the love of God.
Amen.
That's ultimately what it is. If you don't have a love for God, you don't know him. And you're still probably damned. And that's why it says, how shall you escape the curse, the damnation of hell? That's where you're going. God, the love of God is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is God. He saves us. From hell and the curse. I love him. Do you?
Amen.
Do you?
Yes.
If you really love him, what's he say in John 14:15, Brian? He says, if you really love me, do what? Whoa. You mean he put a condition to that? Yeah, because real love always comes with a condition.
Amen.
Real love always is real. It's either fake or it's real. Too many people live in the world and they think they're going to heaven and they're going to die and they're going to end up in hell. Burning in torment forever and ever and ever because they wouldn't come to the truth in their heart. I don't really love God. I told the story about the man who was in prison, the preacher. What's his name? Tammy and Baker. Jim Baker. Jim Baker, he had a giant ministry, He took everybody's money, millions, and he stole it. They put him in prison for 10 years. And he was in prison, and he had this preacher come to him. It's a great story. I told it many times, but in case you didn't hear it. And he had this pastor come and visit him, and the pastor asked him, "Why'd you pick me? I don't even know you." He said, "I just saw your name, and God told me to call you." And he said, "Okay, well, I'm here." And he's asking questions. He said, "Jim, let me ask you a question. You had amazing ministry. It was big. It reached millions and millions of people." He said, "When did you stop loving Jesus?" And he said this. He said, "I never stopped loving Jesus." He said, "I stopped fearing him." And that's what it is. People stop fearing God. And when you stop fearing your relationship, your marriage, you're not going to treat it the same. When you stop fearing your job and your boss, you're not going to treat it the same. When you stop fearing God, you're not going to treat him the same. You're going to start doing what your old life, old cursed soul used to do. You're going to go back to the things you used to do. It's called backsliding. And I'll tell you right now, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Because you either are or you aren't. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You can play a game all you want. You can pretend all you want. You can do all religious acts all you want. You can give money all you want. You can say prayers all you want. Because when Jesus started this, he was talking to people that are way more religious than any of us. And he said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Because the only way you can escape is to have Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is love.
Right.
And when you love, when you get receive his love, you start to love back. And when you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Amen?
Yes.
I want you to think about hell for a second. It's a place of torment. It's a place of judgment. It's a place of fiery judgment. Think about this, because I'm almost done, really. No sleep ever. No rest. Just wailing. And screaming and gnashing of your teeth, the Bible says. It's a furnace of fire. It's hot. It's dark. It's torment. It's forever and ever and ever alone. You won't see anybody. You won't know anybody. You're just going to feel every single bit of your feeling. It tells us in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31 about the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus gave us a story, not a parable. He named names. And the reason he didn't name the rich man, because there was people there that knew him, and he didn't want to hurt them, letting them know that he's in hell now, burning. But they knew Lazarus. They knew this beggar. They said every day his family would take this beggar and put him at the doorstep of the rich man, who had everything. And the rich man would walk past him every day. He was just begging for a crumb. Just for something. And the rich man didn't care about him. And they both died. And Jesus said, Lazarus woke up in the arms of Abraham in paradise. And the rich man ended up in flames of torment. And when the rich man woke up, he said he could see. He said he could hear. He said he could feel. He said his tongue was on fire and burning. And he cried out, Father Abraham! Please, send Lazarus. See, he knows who he was. Send him one drop of my tongue. I pray, just one drop. And he said, I can't. Nobody can go here to me. He said, please. I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, son, during your whole lifetime, you had comfort, you had food, you had everything you wanted. You smoked, drank, partied, played, you did whatever you wanted to do. He had nothing, but he had me. Now he's got me and you got nothing.
Amen.
You know what the rich man said? In hell, not only are you going to experience every single feeling there is to feel, but you're going to remember everything. And you're going to remember the messages that the preacher preached. And you're going to remember the time people witnessed to you. And you're going to remember the begging. People beg you, please turn to God. Please repent. Please believe. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're going to remember, you're going to be tortured. You know what the Bible says? Wailing, gnashing of teeth, and biting on your own tongue. Because forever and ever, you're like, why? Why didn't I believe? Why didn't I believe? Why? Forever and ever and ever. That's why God sent his son. So you never have to go there.
Right.
Please don't go to hell. ball's in your court. You're either going to accept Christ or you're not. You're either going to believe with all your heart or you're going to play a game. Religious game. I was baptized. I did sacraments. So I'm a good person. No, you're cursed. Because there's no good person. Every single thing. You know what the poor rich man did? Not only did he beg out. You know what he said? He remembered. And then he started to care about his brothers. And then he started to care about his family. Then he cared about his family. Really cared about them. Because he didn't care about them when he lived. He didn't care how they ended up. As long as I get what I want. Then he's crying out, please send Lazarus to my brothers. I got 5 of them. They're like me. They're going to go to hell. They're going to come here. Please send Lazarus. And he said, no. What do you mean no? If one would raise from the dead, they would believe. And Abraham said, even if one raised from the dead, they still wouldn't believe.
Right.
It's your choice to believe or not. God's not going to make you do anything. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you.
Amen.
And he loves me. And I've never felt anyone besides my mother who had many faults. I knew my mom loved me. I've never felt that kind of love from any human being. I feel it from my Lord every day.
Amen.
He loves me for real.
Amen.
He's my friend.
Amen.
He knows how messed up I am and is helping me through it.
Amen.
He knows how weak I am and getting me through it all.
Right.
He's there for me every day, every minute, every hour. He's trying to, and he's a real parent. He'll let me go through the fires. He'll let me go through the trials to show me, see, Michael, what happens if you don't believe me? I want to finish with this. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Do you believe in God?
Amen.
Then receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Love Him. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, 22, Brian. Says this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, please pay attention. Let him be anathema, maranatha, Tony. Let him be damned and go to hell.
Right.
If any man, this is Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace. He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned and go to hell. That's so rough. No, Apostle Paul knows. I preached my heart out. God sent his prophets. You don't care. You don't listen to them. You mock them. You think they're phonies. You don't believe. If you're not going to love the Lord, you're going to go to hell anyway. And he wants you to realize that it's your choice. It's your choice. Next verse, Brian. If many love not the Lord, let him be anathema, maranatha. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It says in Hebrews 2:3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'll say it again. How shall you escape the damnation of hell if you neglect so great a salvation?
Right.
So great a salvation that God sent His Son to suffer, to be beaten, punched in the face, whipped 39 times, and His flesh ripping off His back. The Bible says His bones were exposed. He had His eye ripped out, His beard ripped off. They put a crown of thorns, that kind of crown up there. If you touch it that long, you touch it, you're going to bleed. And they put it on his head and they beat it into his head. And the Bible says a fountain of blood. They mocked him. They spit in his face. Called his mother a whore. They said everything bad you could ever sing. Then they made him carry his cross all the way to a hill called Golgotha in the Hebrew. In the English, it's called Calvary. And there they nailed his hands and feet to a cross, and then they lifted him up, and it slammed in, and the Bible says every bone was out of joint. And he was there writhing in pain, suffering, can't breathe, lungs filling with blood, lungs filling with fluid, in such pain, and he pushed himself up to take a breath, and he said, Father, forgive them. I love him.
Amen.
There's never been anyone like him. He's my Lord. It's my Savior. I love Him. And He tells me to keep His commandments. You know what His commandment is? It's so hard. You ready? Love me. Because the more I love Him, the more I can love you.
Amen.
The more I love Him, the more I can love my neighbor. The more I love Him, the more I can love the people that are still under a curse. And I'll tell you what, you know it as well as I do. This world needs more love.
Amen.
And it starts here. It starts in here. Hebrews chapter 10, 29. Well, let me finish reading that. All right, it's all right. How much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? What do you think he's worthy? What do you think God's going to do when he's got his hands out to you? He's gave you his Son. He gave you his blood. He gave you his mind. He gave you his heart. Gave you his word. Gave you preachers, teachers, prophets, pastors, you name it. He's given it to you. He's given you friends that are saved. He's given you people that you see their changed lives. Are they perfect? Of course not. No one is. No one ever will be until we get to heaven. They're flawed. We're all flawed, but we're working on it. We're working. I don't want to be, but I'm working on it. What do you think you deserve? If you just will not even care about God's grace, or you step underfoot the blood of the covenant of God, God has his hand out for you to save you from the curse. How should you escape the damnation of hell? You're alive today. Thank you, Jesus. You're alive right now. The Bible says if you're alive, let everything have breath. Do what? Praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. Because once your heart stops, whether it's be it 16, 13, 10, 8, 7, 5, 90, 60, 55, 72, 88. Doesn't matter. Your heart's going to stop one day. And the second your heart stops, you're going to be carried either to hell or in the arms of Jesus. You're going to be in hell, burning forever and ever, remembering this message. Remembering it. Knowing full well that you are not truly saved. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Kira, could you please come on up? How shall you escape the damnation of hell? The curse of sin? How shall you escape it? By coming to Jesus Christ. He died for you. He suffered for you. He bled and died for you. He went to hell for you. And he rose again to prove to you and everyone in the world that his word is true. And he's with God the Father now, and he sent forth his Spirit that is real. And his Spirit is speaking to people right now. People have come, the altar's full. People are sitting in their seats right now. I have no idea how you accept this or receive this message. But you better hope and pray that you have Christ. The only way you can have Him is to truly believe on Him. Ask Him right now. Please stand to your feet and bow your heads. Please stand. Give the person next to you a chance to slip out and come to this old-fashioned altar. Church is all about telling people the truth. Church is all about preaching the Word of God in the Bible. Jesus said to the most religious people on earth, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? If you won't receive Jesus now, when do you think you will? And will He receive you? Right now you're in the place where God brought you. You're hearing the Word of God, the truth. All you have to do is by faith, bow your head, close your eyes, and call upon Jesus and mean it in your heart and say, Jesus, I'm lost. Jesus, I'm under the curse of sin. I cannot stop sinning. Jesus, I know I believe in you, but something's wrong. I haven't been renewed. Jesus, save me. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Call upon His name now. Say, Jesus, save me, a sinner. I put my faith in you. Tell Him. Say, I put my faith in you, Jesus. I put my trust in you, Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Help me to live for you. Lord, I know you love me. I want to love you now. He that does not love the Lord shall be accursed and go to hell. But God loves you. He'll accept you right now. He'll receive you. And your curse will be lifted. And you'll be washed in his blood. And his spirit of life will come unto you and give you life. And you will know the Lord. And you will hear the Lord. And you will trust the Lord. And you will follow the Lord. And one day you'll be with the Lord. All because of this day. How shall you escape the curse, the damnation of hell? By trusting in Jesus. Call upon his name. Is there anyone out there, before I close and say amen, is there anyone out there who would like me to pray for them, for their souls, not to go to hell? I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I won't say no. I'll just pray for you right from here. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five, there's six. There's probably more. For those of you that raised your hand, bow your heads and pray along with me to God and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. There is no one else. I believe you died on that cross and suffered and took the sin of every man, and you took my sin. I believe that I know that you suffered greatly. I know that you died, even gave your life for me, and you were buried and you went to hell for me. But I know because you are God, you rose from the dead. And you're alive now because I feel your spirit. Tell him, say, I believe that you are alive right now. And I believe you came to save my soul. Jesus, save me. Ask him. Say, save my soul. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. I ask you for salvation. I trust you for it. And I believe you for it. Help me to have a relationship with you. Help me to hear your voice. Help me, Lord God, to not sin anymore. Help me to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you'll put a burden on my heart for my family. You'll put a burden on my heart for my family that I can tell them how to lift the curse. And I'll thank you, Lord. Church, will you thank him? I promise to thank you, Jesus. I promise to praise you. I promise to give you my life and my heart. I promise, Lord, to follow you. I promise, Lord, that I'm yours and you're mine. I'm not ashamed of you. I will never be ashamed of you. And I will thank you to the day I die. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.